gentlemen.
The biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Kicking off the 4 o'clock hour here on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for listening, wherever you're at. On the commute home from work or school, in your office, at home, wherever you are, we appreciate you listening to the show. Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Keery today. Alex on sabbatical. A lot going on. We've talked about the NFL. We've talked about the Utah Jazz. We've talked about college hoops, women's college hoops, Caitlin Clark, all the excitement around that. Now it's time to dig into some spring football in this 4 o'clock hour. And we're going to start with BYU. We'll get to that here in a moment. But first, for an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how, like Doug. Hey, Doug. A little better today?
A little better.
A little better. Okay.
You need a harmonica.
Give me some day. Dig in. Thumbs up. All right. Hey.
Need a harmonica.
Our guys in the control room there gave me a thumbs up. I appreciate that. All right. I'm making progress. I'll get better. By the time Alex comes back, I'll have it mastered, and then I'll never have to do it again.
Oh, yeah, we retire Alex.
No. Because nobody sings, hey, Doug, like
nobody
Alex
does
Keery.
Doug like the
He nails
like
it
Alex.
Every single time. So we can only wish to be as great as the great Alex Keery. All right. Let's get into some BYU football. It's the cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
BYU football has wrapped up spring practices. They are done. We're barely into April, barely into spring, and spring football's over at BYU, but they got a lot of work done in 4 weeks, and they got the quarterbacks working, which is important for BYU and important for fans to, who are very, very curious. I know all of you who are BYU fans are, this is on your mind. Like, who's going to be our guy? Because it's very clear, Sly, and we'll dig into this throughout the summer, and media days are going to be a lot of fun when we get to Vegas and we talk to these players and coaches, because quarterbacks rule the day, mm-hmm. Especially now. You've got to have a quarterback. You've got to have an alpha under center. And there's a select group of teams in the Big 12 that I feel like have that alpha guy. And there's some that don't. And we don't know if BYU has that guy. I didn't say they didn't. I just said we don't know. And I think that's fair to say.
Right.
Can Gary Bohannon be an alpha dog at BYU? Is he ready for that? Is the shoulder back 100%? Can he master this offense? Can he surprise people? He's won at a high level at Baylor. He's been there, done that. And I think that's why BYU was so interested in bringing him in. I think that's why they like him so much, is because he has proven that he can do stuff at this level. But has he done enough? And can he get back to doing that after basically missing most of 2 years? You know how hard it is to play college football to miss that much time and to come back and be great again. It's a lot to ask.
It is. It's not daunting. It's not something that can never happen. But it is. I think it is rare. It's going to be extremely difficult. Got to knock the rust off. Even talking about Cam Rising, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's why he's pushing his legs so much this offseason, because it's like you have to think. You don't want to go into the season thinking about your injury. That cannot be a single thought in your mind, can't be a single excuse coming in and out of the huddle at all, right? And so same thing with Bohannon here. He's got to make sure, he's got to push himself to not think that the injury is anything that's going to take it back, because it's the long things like, oh, man, I tore my knee and that just ruined the rest of my career. I tore my shoulder and that just ruined the rest of my career. That cannot be a thought going into the season. And so if he can do what he needs to do to build that continuity, that chemistry, that confidence in that injury to where it's an afterthought, then I think he'll be in better position. But it's extremely difficult to do.
Obviously, Gary Bohannon competing with Jake Retzlaff, who got some starts last year at BYU with mixed results. I think that they have a belief in Jake Retzlaff, and I think they would like to see more from him. And that's where they're at with his job. I think those are the two guys that are competing for that starting job. There's no question about that. They made that clear in spring. They've got some younger guys that got a lot of reps, Ryder Burton, Noah Lugo. But it's really about Gary versus Jake this fall. Now, when is that decision going to be made? It obviously didn't happen in spring, and Kalani Sitake talks about when BYU will make that decision on who the starting quarterback will be in 2024.
Sooner the better would be nice, but I think that someone's got to take it. You know, I think looking at the playing field right now, I can see the positives from both of those guys. In the meantime, other guys are stepping up, like Mike Bourget and Finnegan. So, we're going to just keep competing. I think it's done some really good things for Jake. It's done some really good things for Gary as well.
So, no, whenever they're ready. And you know what, Sly, you've been on that side of things. Like, why show your hand anyway?
Right, right.
And so this is interesting, because if you're BYU, and Kyle Whittingham's done this close-to-the-vest stuff with the quarterback position.
You don't know until the day before the game.
Exactly, right? And so I get that. I get part of that. I understand that. From a strategic standpoint, you don't want to let your competition know anything about what you're doing. But there's also other things at play here. This isn't a situation where Utah knows who their guy is, who's Cam Rising, and they're trying to be coy about whether or not he's going to play in a game. This is BYU football trying to send a message to its fans, to everybody, that they're better, that they're going to be more improved, mm-hmm. that they're a team to be reckoned with in the Big 12. But if you go into a Big 12 season not knowing who your quarterback is, and the quarterbacks you're throwing out there have question marks, and some people are saying, well, BYU's quarterback situation is the worst in the Big 12. Doesn't really garner a lot of confidence, buzz, excitement with your fans, with the media, whatever it might be. And there's a marketing aspect to college football.
Right.
You're trying to sell tickets. This is entertainment.
You got to play the game.
Right?
Yeah.
I understand that on the other side, in the football offices, whether it's at BYU or Utah, you're a coach, you're a player. You don't care about any of that. That's not important to you. All you care about is winning. And you spend every ounce you have at winning football games. Mm-hmm. But that's not all that matters. It matters to you on that side. But there's so much more to this. And Sly, I think you see it now that you're on this side of it. Like, hype in teams matters. Like, getting excited about your team matters. It matters in recruiting. It matters in selling tickets. It matters in media coverage. Media coverage matters. Why? Because there's polls. There's a college football playoff poll and committee and all these things that you need to get your team out there. You need to let people know who you are, that you have talent, that you have this, you have that, because there is a little bit of that in college football. Marketing matters. Letting people know who you are matters. Telling your story matters in recruiting, right?
Yeah, no question. I think that there's – and, yeah, as you said, and me being on this side – of the game, I'm able to understand that there's so many moving parts. I mean, you've labeled them all from recruiting to the front office. I mean, there's a lot of positions in the administration that are held because of how well you market, right? The student body is like, okay, where's this school that's got so much attention, right? Marketing matters.
Look at Colorado last year.
Right?
Just look at Colorado, proves my point.
What is the first 3 weeks of the season? He had $100+ million, is what they said in marketing.
Nobody cared about Colorado football
at all.
You make one hire, boom.
Right.
And that hire knows how to play the media game.
Yeah.
He knows how to play the marketing game.
He let all the media in.
Prime is a master.
Yes.
And he performed a master class. And what has happened to that university? I'm not just talking about the football program,
yeah,
Sly.
The football program was great.
What happened to the university?
It blew up. It blew up. The university was awesome.
Applications went up. Sales in the bookstore of gear,
mm-hmm.
athletic apparel went up. This is not just
sold
about
out football games.
This is not
celebrities
just about
at games.
What happens on the football field?
Right.
There's so much more to it, and it matters. It does.
The other sports are affected by this stuff too.
Yeah.
Right. The camaraderie, the whole university. You know, and so I love it.
Look at the difference in Utah between 2022 and 2023. When Cam Rising was throwing touchdowns.
Right.
Even 2021, even better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Felt like that year was even better. Last year was like, ugh. for a lot of fans because it's like, we don't have the guy.
But this whole offseason,
it's coming back.
Right, you see Utah football game.
Cam Rising is back.
Utah football social, you know, playing the marketing game,
yes.
Right? You know, getting videos of Cam Rising.
Brent Keithy's back.
One more year.
Exactly.
They're not doing it all in one. They're spreading it out.
Yes.
They're spreading it out. They didn't let you know that Cam and Brent were coming back at the same time. They let Cam know, okay, when is Brent coming back? We talk a whole week or two about Brent.
Yeah.
And then they let him know. There's a game that needs to be played in all of this.
100%. And that brings me back to my point is BYU doesn't know who that guy is right now. And it's hard to have that buzz and excitement when you're unsure about who the leader is,
right,
who your quarterback is. Do we have a guy that can help us win games? That's where BYU is at right now. It's a precarious position. It happens to everybody. Every program is going to go through it. Utah might go through it next year. We know Cam's not coming back next year.
Right.
Okay, so who's going to be the guy next year? Utah's going to have to figure that out. It could be a little bit of a transition. Maybe Brandon Rose or
Isaac Wilson.
Or Isaac Wilson emerges this year in practices this year or in spring next year. They make an announcement in spring, and then you can market Isaac Wilson as your next quarterback at Utah. Or maybe they go in the portal and go get some stud from somewhere else that wants to come in for a year and win a Big 12 championship with Utah next year because they think they've got the players, but they didn't feel like they had the experience of quarterback. These are moving parts. We don't know.
Right.
And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but right now BYU's in a situation where they don't know. So Aaron Roderick explains how both of these quarterbacks are similar and where they're kind of at with this battle.
They're actually more similar than they are different. Yeah, they're both athletic. They both, you know, can make the throws that we need them to make in this offense, and they're both really smart. Of course, Gary has a little more experience overall. Jake has the advantage of knowing our offense a little better than Gary does. So it's been a really, really good battle.
Interesting. Jake has an advantage right now of knowing the offense better.
Mm-hmm.
But they obviously like Gary's experience. Slides from my opinion, I've talked to some people and gathering from what's been said. Once Gary catches up in knowing the offense, I feel like they want Gary to take this job.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got a veteran who's won a conference title, you know, in the conference that you're in.
Yes.
So there's, again, experience is best teacher, right? This guy has experience. He understands this level. He understands the competition that they'll be going against. It's great to have a backup that knows the offense. And to be going into a battle, competition brings out the best in everybody, right? Hopefully the second unit, whoever's being that second unit QB, is getting just as good of experience as the first team, right? And so competition is always great in situations like this. And for Kalani's point, it's just like, when do you let everybody know that I have my guy, right? Does the team know before the media knows? So there's not, like, you don't have any crazy non-chemistry within the team.
Right.
Right? Because I think knowing the quarterback situation, know who's going to be your guy, it behooves the offense, right? And it helps them out understand who's going to be the play caller, who's going to be this person saying, like, what cadence is going to be called? How do they call the audibles? Like, knowing that ahead of time and not the day before the game or the week before the game helps out.
Let me lean on your playing experience at Utah. Mm-hmm. You guys had a special, special season in 2008. One of the reasons why it was special is because you had an alpha quarterback.
We had a guy.
You know who your guy was.
He was all right.
Yeah. Brian Johnson was okay. But you also had seasons during your time at Utah where you didn't know who your guy was. There was times when Brian was injured. There was after he graduated. What were those seasons like compared to the season where you knew who your guy was? And what's the difference there? And how important is it to know who your quarterback is?
Well, I mean, the first year was a know-nothing freshman. So I don't know anything. That's what they told me.
Right.
You don't know nothing. Don't worry about it. Just do your job. So there was not much I took from that. But besides the inconsistency in the quarterbacks, I'm like, is this just college life? Is this how it's supposed to be? But then you do have solid quarterback play, right? You know, BJ gets hurt in the first game of my second year when we play Oregon State, but comes back later in that year, and we go on a 9-game winning streak.
Yeah.
Right? And then the very next year, we go undefeated. And then the year after that, my senior year, you know, we do have a QB battle between, you know, freshmen and Terrence Kane and Jordan Wynn. And so it sucks. Senior year, I was more in control of my position and knowing what we had to do. So there was the mindset of we're not making excuses. We're just like, look, if the offense doesn't score, we win. But it sucks as a whole team. If you don't know who's throwing the ball defensively, we don't have confidence in the quarterback who's going to be delivering. Like, we can get turnovers, right? I'll give you a turnover in the red zone. Are we confident you're going to score with it? And that's the difference with like team chemistry. And I'd like to know that I trust this guy because I play him in practice. I know he can get the job done. And that's who I would want defensively out on the field leading our offense against somebody else.
Yeah. I just remember back then the difference between 2008 and 2009. Obviously, things didn't go the same. And it's still a good team, but felt right. Like it could have been better if you just simply had the guy at that quarterback position.
Well,
you guys could have maybe not equaled what you did in 2008, but you could have come close because you still had a lot of the same talent.
Right.
The only difference was you didn't have a senior experienced quarterback under center, give or take some other positions. But you had a lot of weapons on that team. Your defense was still loaded. You get my point here.
Yeah, there were certain situations in that year. You know, we were on like going back from 2007, we're on 21-game winning streak,
right,
which was the longest in the country at the time. So that was prideful for us. We wanted to keep that going. But, again, we go into Oregon. Great possibility of winning that game. We get a punt return, a pick six. Nothing the defense can do about all of that.
Right.
And that was just because we did have inconsistent quarterback
exactly.
play. So, yeah.
It just makes such a big difference when you know who the guy is.
Right.
And BYU's in that situation now where they're not quite sure. Now, that can change in the fall. And if Gary has a better command of this offense and understands it better, and he can turn that into performance and practice in the fall, I believe he's going to win the job. I believe he's the guy. I'm not going to speak for anybody on that staff, but I feel like they all hope Gary takes it. Because I believe BYU's ceiling next year is higher if Gary wins the job. Doesn't mean he's going to.
Everybody's this. Like, imagine, you talked about it. Utah last year, if we had consistent quarterback play, right? We've seen so many games where guys were wide open. Devon Bailey running amazing routes.
How many quarterbacks for Utah played last year? Right. You can't win with that.
Right.
That can't happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it sucks.
And they still won eight games. Give credit to Utah.
Right.
But by the end of the year and into the bowl game, we're like, come on, guys.
We could have been so much better.
Oh, yeah. And I think it was frustrating for guys like just was like in 2009 with you guys coming off a generational season to be like, oh, if we just had this. BYU doesn't want to have that regret. So I think this is what they want to have happen. But it's got to happen. Gary's got to do that. Gary's got to take it. Gary's got to have command of the offense. Because I think BYU's ceiling in 2024 is higher with him at quarterback. I don't think that Retzlaff, I think while he could be solid and he could do good things, we saw the inconsistency last year. We saw the turnovers last year. And I guarantee you the coaches don't forget the pick six against Oklahoma that completely changed that game.
Right.
Trust matters. You got to be able to trust your guys. And
that's from the coaching staff and the players.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can't, like you're explaining from your end as a defensive guy, man, we could have won that game if the quarterback wouldn't have screwed it up. You can't go into games feeling like that. So BYU's got to figure that out. I believe they want Gary to step up and win that job. If he doesn't, they'll go with Jake. They'll see how it goes. I just don't think it's going to go as well as it could if Gary wins it. Well, I think BYU's ceiling is higher with Gary Bohannon as a starter in 2024.
No question. And to Retzlaff's credit, too, you know, there's a lot you can do in a year. You can make some adjustments. Last year was his first year in this offense as well. So there can be some confidence factor. As we said, he hasn't thrown an interception all spring. You know, so he could have made a huge jump in his improvement as a player. And so, one, you'll have a solid backup no matter what. But I just think that this QB competition hopefully is getting all these guys like Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, Parker Kingston, all these Darius Lassiter, these guys' confidence in this offense being more than average this year.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the Jazz Daily, we teased it yesterday. The Jazz are trying to find a difference maker. That's what this is all about. They've got to go find a guy. Who is that guy? Is he out there? Me and Sly will break it down next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Basketball, gimme the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
The Tesh brothers bringing us in again on a Jazz Daily here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Speaking of the Tesh brothers, Jason Sudeikis, who plays one of the Tesh brothers on Saturday Night Live, was at the Iowa-LSU game last night.
Loving it.
He was having a good time doing a little bit of this.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see this on radio, but you know what I'm talking about if you watch
the
game.
Can't see me?
You can't see me. We saw Caitlin Clark last night. I think it was a little bit of a dig at Angel Reese, right? So that's all fun. It's all good. It's not personal. It's all fun. We had a lot of fun watching that game last night. 12.3 million people
That was
watched.
More than the national championship last year, wasn't it?
12.3 million people
wow.
watched an Elite Eight women's college basketball NCAA tournament game, and for good reason, because it was awesome. It peaked at 16 million. There you go.
Ever.
Not a surprise, not a shock.
Ever.
Expected that, and the question was, would that game live up to the hype? And was there a dagger buzzer beater at the end of the game? No, there was not. It didn't get to that point for different reasons, but I think we saw high-level basketball last night, a very competitive environment, and you saw greatness take over and win that game, which was Caitlin Clark winning that game. And Kim Mulkey said that after the game, we got beat by a generational player. I was the better team.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there was great highs and lows in that game, you know, riding the wave, right? You know, Iowa got off to a quick start, then LSU just literally kicked it in gear. Angel Reese went to another level, was playing all over the place from defense to offense, turning defense into offense. And then she got rolled her ankle, and that kind of changed. That
it
was
did.
A big energy change. But
that
they
has not been talked about enough. Angel Reese getting hurt really changed the game. She's not as effective.
No, she's definitely not. I mean, she was rolling, had double digits early in the second quarter, and then didn't even take another shot till like the end of the third quarter. And so, like, yeah, it was very significant. But, I mean, to each his own, LSU was supposed to have tons of people who could pick up the slack.
Yeah.
Right? And then they went into halftime 45-45. It was tie ball game at halftime. It was 0-0 coming out in that second half. And then Caitlin Clark went in the superstar mode.
Yep.
That third quarter was absolutely, like, what are you going to do? Chase, you going to go under the screen? You going to follow the screen? What do you want to do? And Caitlin Clark has just done such an amazing job of understanding defenders, how people are going to defend her and what shot she could take. You know where her shot is. It is 30 feet from the hoop, fading to the left on the left side of the court. She makes that unconsciously. I was saying in the game, I was literally yelling in my living room, she's unconscious as she's as she's coming past half court and then pulls it.
The old NBA Jam game. She's heating up.
Yes. But that's exactly what it feels. I'm like,
she's on fire.
I'm like, heat check. And then it was. She just launched it, but she was on fire. Honestly, she could have had 50 if she learns how to do that pull-up game right in the middle, because she gets past the defenders, and then instantly, right when she gets to the free throw line, she starts to pass it. I'm like, no, hit your floater.
Yeah.
It's wide open. Nobody's challenging you. Hit the floater. She could have easily had 51, 52 points last
night.
It's
actually not part of her game. That
it's not, but it needs to be.
Yep.
They talked about it. Some of the announcers talked about it last night. But that could be a very, very easy addition she can make this offseason.
So before we get into the Jazz here, let's just go through this. 10.4 million Jeez. Watched Purdue-Tennessee, the men's Elite Eight game on Sunday, which was a great game.
Right.
They beat it. 9.5 million people watched the 2024 Golden Globes. Beat it. 12.1 million for the final round of the Masters last year. Beat it. 4 of 5 games from the 2023 NBA Finals. Beat that. Every World Series game in 2023. Last night's Iowa-LSU game had better ratings. Pretty big night for
That's
women's
amazing.
College hoops last night. It's not about those other sports. It's about the elevation and the rise of women's college basketball, how great it is, and how these stars have really taken the game to another level, and some of the coaching and some of the personalities and some of the rivalries and all the stuff. You know, you could tell LSU, like, after the game, the players, they kind of were wore down by a lot of the – I don't think they liked people making them feel like they were – I don't know what it was. Like, the way that they were portrayed or the way people judged them, they felt was unfair. I get that. But all of it was for the betterment of the game, because people are treating – these players, like, people on Twitter are blasting these players, treating them like any other sport,
mm-hmm.
right? You have arrived when everyone's talking, like when people are criticizing Kim Mulkey and her coaching decisions, and they're criticizing Angel Reese, and they're saying this and they're saying that. We just talked about Caitlin Clark needs to add a floater to her game.
Right.
We're talking about the game.
Right.
And that's proves the point that this game has been elevated, which is good for women's college basketball.
Love it. Love every
all
ounce
of it
of
is
it.
Good. All the drama, all the theater, it's all great. And that's why there's 12.3 million people watching it last night. All right, Utah Jazz. So, Sly, it's hard. It's painful. I'm sitting here, and we're not dumb. We're not going to sit here and break down. I can't wait to see this Jazz-Cavaliers game tonight. It's another game. It's a Jazz game. If you're going to the game, you're going to have an amazing time because every time you step into that building, you're entertained. This Jazz team's going to fight and claw and battle this Cleveland Cavaliers game tonight. But the honest truth is the Jazz don't have anything to play for. They're just playing regular season basketball games.
Right.
So as far as there's not playoffs we're talking about here. We're talking about just these young players developing. But I can't help but look towards the future, okay, the offseason. And we're a couple weeks away from really digging into that. And a lot of things can happen. As we've seen in this league, I don't think 2 years ago you saw the Jazz trading Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in an offseason when you thought they were the future of your franchise.
Right.
Things can change fast in the NBA. But here's the deal. The Jazz have lost 9 straight games. They're 3-16 since the trade deadline. And it's all about trying to improve this team because they want to win a championship. Will Hardy said it. These last 7 games are about improving and giving our guys opportunities to get better, these young players, so that someday they can win a championship. Well, if you want to win a championship in the NBA, that's all good and fine, but you have to have an alpha. You've got to have a star player. If we look at teams that actually have a real chance to win an NBA championship, even if you take the top 5 or 6 teams in the Eastern and Western Conference, you got to have an alpha.
Right.
Who's your star player? Who's your MVP-type guy? The Thunder have emerged this year because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has become an MVP-caliber player. And they've added pieces around him, young players that got better faster. Jalen Williams out of Santa Clara. I mean,
great
there was
asset.
Buzz about him before the draft, but nobody knew he was going to be this good.
Right.
Chet Holmgren, questions about how he would be in the NBA. He's been better than we thought. Right. He's awesome. I thought he was going to be too fragile for the NBA. I'm an idiot. I was wrong. He's been great. So the Thunder in a good position. The Nuggets, obviously, who they are. There's just so many teams. So I'm sitting here like, how do they make a leap? How do you get up there? Well, you got to go out and get that guy, whether it's through trade or the draft. Now, getting him in the draft, that's going to take a lot of patience. I'm not a very patient person, Sly. And I think Jazz fans out there listening right now are like, I don't know if I can wait till 2028 for whoever they're drafting in 2025.
To bring some kind of excitement back to Delta Center.
To become the next good young star.
Right.
So can the Jazz accelerate the process this offseason? Can they package some of these picks to go out and get a star player? That is the question. Do you believe they can? And if they can, who's the guy out there that's to be that they could get?
Who's ready?
Who is a player out there on a team that might be doing a fire sale, might be ready to start over? We saw the Raptors kind of do that, although it seems like they're pretty committed to holding on to Scottie Barnes, which is a name but he's 22, but he's not going anywhere. Who's that guy out there? What team might be willing to restart like the Jazz did,
right,
and be ready to move a piece that could be the big difference for the Jazz that you pair with Lauri Markkanen
and
here
Walker
we go.
Kessler.
And your young players, and here we go. Who's the guy?
For me?
Realistic.
I know we were talking about
Luka
this yesterday.
You say Luka Doncic, I'm going to laugh at you. It's not going to happen.
There's no way. Luka does not like Utah.
Anthony Edwards, not going to happen.
Not going to happen, right? But like, you got to look at it, right? And so for me, it's not always, it's got to be who's got to be a good fit, right? It's not always like, oh, this guy is just, you know, he's an A-lister. Let's get him, right? It's about who's going to be a good fit on this team, right? You have Lauri Markkanen. You have Jordan Clarkson. You have a Walker Kessler. You have some of these pieces, all right? What's going to be a great addition to that? And for me, I just think that you need a bona fide scorer. A tough-nosed guy who you can give the ball to, because I think there's many teams you can give a guy a ball, you know, Brown, Tatum on the Celtics,
yeah,
and they can go one-on-one and get you a bucket. And for me, I'm trying to look around the league, again, taking notice, like, no, you're not going to get Luka Doncic. But for me, I think that the Brooklyn Nets are going to blow up here, mm-hmm. you know, blow that team up. Get Cam Thomas.
Whoa.
I like Cam Thomas. First of all,
I like that.
Watching a lot of basketball of him, he can flat out score. He's a three-level scorer, and he's got an attitude of physicality and aggression that you would need in a guy like that. You pair him with the Lauri Markkanen. I don't think I like Lauri a lot because he's just an athletic beast, but I think that, you know, he's a great complementary scorer to a primary scorer. And I think Cam Thomas is a guy who can bring the ball up. He can go one-on-one. He can clear the floor out, open things up for everybody else. But I think Cam Thomas, even Mikal Bridges on that team, I think is a great addition as well. But for me, for Utah Jazz, a guy that would fit here, he's quiet, humble, great guy coming out of LSU. I think Cam Thomas would be a great addition to Utah and then kind of change things around.
Cam Thomas is an interesting name. I've got one. Here's my honest answer, though. I'm going to be honest with everybody. I don't think the player's out there right now, which is why the Jazz are having to be so patient.
Right.
I just don't think there's that slam dunk. I've got one maybe I'd roll the dice on. This is a wild card. It's a young player who has shown he can play at a high level, but he's been hurt so much. We haven't seen him. We've probably forgotten about him. And he's on a bad, bad team that may want to just start over, and this player might be available via trade. LaMelo Ball.
I like LaMelo.
Now, how many picks, how in do you have to be to make that happen?
I thought about it. I don't know if he'd fit here in Utah.
Why not?
Because you got a tough coach in Will Hardy. I don't know if you can coach LaMelo hard. I don't know if you can coach. I thought you were going to say,
if you can't coach LaMelo, if LaMelo can't be coached by Will Hardy, he can't play in the league.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, he's been injured. You know, Charlotte's a dumpster fire.
Right.
But, like, I mean, I thought you were going to say Markel Fultz. I'm like, don't say that.
No.
But I like that. I was thinking about that. But, again, I just don't think the cultural fit here in Utah would be good for him.
I just don't trust that he's going to be healthy. But if he was, that's one player on a bad team, a team that needs to blow it up. Where are you from? I wonder if they just want to start over and move him on. And you think, wow, this is an opportunity to go get him, and let's see if he's healed up. There's a logical one out there that I don't think is the right choice because he's way too expensive. I think the Hawks are going to blow it up. I think the Hawks are in a no man's land, and I think Trae Young or DeJounte Murray could be had.
I like both of those.
I don't think those players take you to the level of championship, though.
I don't know.
But Trae Young is a bona fide scorer in this league.
But if you pair Trae Young with somebody nice, right?
And these young players that they're drafting with these picks?
Because for me in basketball, it's all about being able to penetrate. Can you penetrate at multiple levels, right? You know,
can you score at all three levels?
And Trey can, and if he can, and Walker needs to get more aggressive on the boards. If you can get Walker Kessler to get more aggressive on the boards, he needs to be top eight in rebounds every single year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so if you can get him more aggressive on the boards offensively, and you run your offense through Jordan, who's coming off as your sixth man, and you got Lauri Markkanen, who's aggressive on the other side, and you can have complementary guys like that, but you just need that aggressive guy. I like both of those guys right there. I like Trae Young. I think Trae Young would be an amazing fit. I like that.
Maybe you love Keontae so much that it's a wing you're after. But my feeling is you've got to go get a lead guard that can score.
But you have so many point guards right now.
And Keontae may become that, but he's not that right now.
Right. And you have a lot of point guards right now on the team who's good.
Yeah.
Right? So do you need another Trae Young point guard?
Well, I mean, you'd probably have to package one of these guys in that kind of a deal to
Charlotte.
Right.
I mean, you got draft picks.
You've got guys. You've got young guys. You've got picks that a lot of teams would want to start over their rebuild. I think Trey's too expensive. I don't think that's the right play, even though
Cam Thomas.
I love Cam Thomas. That's interesting. That's an interesting name, and that's a bigger player.
Yeah.
But he would fit perfectly.
He would.
You would not have to. Keontae's your starter.
Yes.
You pair him with
Yes.
With Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh.
Say it again.
Cam Thomas is an interesting one. I like it, Sly. That was a fun exercise.
Yeah.
I don't think we found a slam dunk home run.
No. Because it's not out there. You said it.
It's not.
It's not.
But those are names that are really interesting that you might be able to pry loose. Again, LaMelo Ball would be interesting.
It would be. I like LaMelo.
But he may, maybe it's just not going to work for him. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Fun conversation. Jazz Cavs tonight right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Pre-game show at 6 with Jake Scott and Tim Lacombe. Speaking of Tim Lacombe, he's going to be on the show in the 5 o'clock hour. We look forward to that. So we'll get to that. It is a ticket Tuesday, right, Alex? So we got to do this? Let's do it.
We got some tickets.
Let's give away some tickets. Be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE to win a pair of tickets to the Jazz Nuggets game at Delta Center on April 9th. Call right now. Be the 12th caller, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. We got a pair of tickets with your name on them. Utah Spring Football Update next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.